Producers.
That leads me to, I wanted to ask you about kind of like your budget. Obviously, you have some money to play with here. You know, I'm assuming Susie's not working for free, so you got money to toss at some custom sings every single week. Do you feel like you have quite a bit of tools and resources there?
Do you know what? It's been... The production as a department was merged into programming about 2 or 3 years ago, and I haven't seen the budget since. So I actually have no idea how much they spend on it. I just keep hiring people until they tell me to stop.
So basically you spend until they say stop spending.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I've got no idea how much we spend. I'm sure the boss does. I'm sure he's keeping a very close eye on it, but I just keep getting people until they say don't.
And as far as, you know, we talked about the Sing, but what about other tools you have? Obviously, you've got Pro Tools. I'm sure you've got a nice Mac machine. I'm just assuming you're a Mac guy.
Yeah.
So is there, you know, do you get to keep updated? Waves releases a new batch?
The Mac I'm on at the moment is probably about 3 or 4 years old. It's starting to get slightly on the tired side. Pro Tools versions are starting to slow it down a bit more than I would hope for. But it's just a Mac we don't keep directly on top of where Pro Tools is at, but we probably update every 6 months or so, something like that. We've got
You on 10? I'm assuming you're on 10 then.
Let me have 9.
What about other stuff though? Other fun stuff, you know, audio tools, plugins, that kind of thing. You buying new fun toys all the time there?
No, not really. I've got one bunch of stuff which I've been using for I don't know since Pro Tools 3, I suppose, 3 or 4. I think we started with which I just keep on hammering, and I'll throw a new plugin into the mix every you know, few months or something like that. I'll start working with something different, but I tend to stick to the stuff that I know.
Yeah. What's your favorite stuff to use? You know, EQs and compressors and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so on the voice tracks, I like to use a simple Focusrite EQ.
Mm-hmm.
The Focusrite compressor and an L1. And on the mastering, I love my C4. The Ultra Maximizer, the L1 Ultra Maximizer.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it. On the audio channels, I use the McDSP F2s on pretty much every channel, just so I've always got a filter handy at some stage.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the Eventide delay at the moment, the factory delay. Pretty much every voice track's got TrueVerb and just a slight bit of Metaflanger on it. And audio suite-wise, I couldn't live without Pitch and Time. I just like the simple compressor for smashing voice tracks on the go for doing a quick little squash every now and then.
Uh-huh.
Just compressor limiter 3, the Digirack one.
Yep.
And I love what else do I like? Oh, the Joe Meek EQ and compressor for sung vocals I like. Delay wise, I'm also into the H delay at the moment as well.
Nice. Well, yeah, it sounds like you use quite a few things then.
I do use quite a few things, but that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? I don't branch out too much beyond that.
Tell me, actually, I'm curious about the way you master, because this leads me to another whole batch of topics. But
yeah.
It's pretty widely thought that the quality of audio that's coming out of Australian radio imaging is just very, very high. You know, you're paying a lot of attention.
Great.
In fact, I just interviewed Harry Legg, and he even brought that up, that just for whatever reason, the quality of the final product is just great in Australia. So you guys should
cool.
be. Yeah. But as far as, you know, obviously it matters in your mix. It matters down to every single track that you're tinkering around with. But also the mastering, I think, is important. So tell me what you do on the master track.
Okay, well, here's how it goes. The C4 has a big boost up the bottom end. The way I think about it is the on-air processing is going to, if I don't do it myself, the on-air processing is going to compress the hell out of everything and turn up the bass and a little bit of sprinkle on the top end as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure if I do that myself, then the on-air process, I'm leaving less to chance with the on-air processing, and I can control it better how it sounds on the air. So my C4 has got a big boost down the bottom end. It's compressing quite hard on the bottom end, and the top end has got a little lift as well. I've got a slight dip down in the sort of muddy low mids. And then after that, it's just got a little bit of L1 after it as well, just to squash it down a bit.
Yeah, so the L1 you're primarily using just to kind of limit the ceiling. You're not really doing a lot of compression with it per se.
No, it hits, you know, it will hit momentary peaks of -6, and that's about it really. So really, I'm just trying to emulate the sound of what the on-air compression would do before it gets to the on-air compression. So I'm leaving less to chance.
So let me just be dumb for a minute, but it seems like if the on-air compression and the processing that happens on the air is going to boost up the low end and compress the crap out of it, it seems like if you do that the first time, then that's just going to make it twice as bad. Is that not
No, because it's adaptive. It's not going to do it if it doesn't need it. Like when you have a song that's had the shit mastered out of it.
Yep.
And it's one of those really loud songs. It doesn't work quite as hard. But if you have a commercial that has no compression on it whatsoever, it's going to work really hard to keep it loud.
Okay, that makes sense. So essentially. Yep. It's smart in a way that it only works when it needs to, and you're basically telling it you don't need to work on my stuff,
dude. Yeah, I'm just saying here it is, here's what you were probably going to do with it, so you don't have to think so much about it, and I already know what it's going to sound like before it hits the air.
Let me ask you this one real quick. Actually, Konski was curious, and I've had this brought up multiple times by multiple people, but you know, Australia has a great reputation. You know, there's a lot of great radio imaging there. I talked about the quality of the audio, but in your estimation, you know, Australia versus the rest of the world, we could put it that way, but, you know, be honest, be modest, be whatever you want to be, but tell me really where you think you guys stand.
I think Australia, do you know what? I think Australia, just because until social media kind of caught up with radio production in the last few years, Australia was definitely its own little island, and we were just creating, and every now and again a program director would bring back a tape of stuff that they heard while they were in America or whatever, and you know, you'd listen to that and you go, wow, that's, you know, that's some crazy stuff that they've got going on over there. But then we would keep on going with what we were doing. So up until the social media thing kind of happened in the last few years, we were pretty cut off from all that. So we just did our own stuff. And so I'd say Australian radio is a little bit different to the rest of the world. I'd say you guys in America, there's a lot more radio producers, and you were probably a lot more connected to each other than we ever were with American producers up until then. I'd say it has grown up on its own, and it definitely does have its own sound in Australia for sure.
Now, do you think that by virtue of everyone becoming connected, that's actually influencing your imaging or Australia's radio sound? And if so, is it in a negative way or a positive way?
I think it's bringing a lot more new ideas to young producers, which cannot be a bad thing. It's a great thing, I think. The more sources you have to learn from, the more the merrier, I say. Personally, I love to listen to stuff that's going on outside, but I don't spend a lot of time seeking it out because I've got my own sound in my head. I don't like to copy other people, every now and then I like it to be a pleasant surprise when I do hear something great from overseas, rather than spending ages trawling through stuff that may not be so great. I love it when people send me something and say, "Have a listen to this. This is fantastic."
Right, because that means it's probably pretty damn good if someone's actively sending it out to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the other tools you get to use. I know I'm bouncing around here a little bit, but you know, audio services. Do you make your own audio effects, your own sound design effects, and the bed music you use and that kind of stuff? Or what do you like to use?
Well, there's two answers to that. We use we have the network is subscribed to Trinity HDFX.
Okay. Dudzik,
and
yep.
Production Vault. So we I use a lot of those for just little zippy noises and things like that. I love to get onto the music publishing company hard drives and get a lot of trailery kind of swooshes and booms and things like that. Audio Machine library in especially and the X-Ray Dog library I love. And then beyond that, because I work 90% of my day in grid mode, I also love to get a tune that's going to hold the whole promotion together and do as much as I can to augment it, which by you know, adding loops and things like that to it. I try and keep it as musical as possible and build it like something musical.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever diven into the world of sound design, creating your, you know, actually from scratch, creating your own elements in music?
Yeah, I did start for a little while. I messed around with it for a little while, and I just thought, you know what, there are people out there who have a lot more patience than I do.
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
every now and
again,
I'll make a sound effect and I'll go, wow, that was pretty cool, and I'll keep it for later. But I just don't have the patience, man.
Yeah. And also, you know, at a certain point, you start to hone specific skills, you know. You don't want to try and do everything, so you've got the radio production down. Let the other guys do the actual element production. Yeah, I guess
that's right. Now there's definitely people out there who are way better at that and way more organized with that sort of stuff than I am. I don't think I'm the guy for that.
Yeah, that's cool. what about as far as using voices on the station? Who do you use? Do you use lots of voices? Do you, you know, how often are you changing out sort of station voices on Fox FM specifically?
Yeah, we choose a voice for depending on what the promotion is that we're doing, whatever the tactic is, and we tend to rotate through a few of the sort of big ballsy voices, like on that $1 million stuff. So we have a guy here named Matthew O'Sullivan who is he lives in Australia, but I think he's from New Zealand. Who's got a massive voice, and he's very theatrical, so he's great for doing those big sort of trailery, desolate sort of things. There's also a couple of other local Australian guys with big voices that we rotate around as well. But we also get Harry Legg in every now and then, Steve Stone, and we also have a guy in London, Howard Ritchie, who does a few little bits and pieces for us weekly. We just kind of send stuff over there every few days and get a few bits and pieces from him.
He's got a British accent, though, so you use Australians, Americans, and British?
Yep. We tend to use the American and the English accents for stuff that needs to stick out.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So if we're giving away, if we're doing a thing that needs to stick out in breakfast beyond what the normal tactic would do, then we put Howard on it, which we're currently doing with the $10,000 pop quiz. If we want to give away tickets to an American event, like, you know, every now and again we'll give away tickets to like Wango Tango or something like that, we'll get an American voice for it. So just stuff that needs to stick out. Yeah.
Do you have these guys on retainers, you know, monthly retainers, no matter what, no matter how much you use them, or are you just doing one-offs every time you hire a voice?
Yeah, Howard is on a retainer, and we also have an Australian girl who does a weekly session for us as well. And the rest of them, we just book them when we need them.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting to know kind of the way things work. And are you making those decisions? Like, do you decide, okay, I think I'm going to use Harry Legg on this one thing, or is that a group effort?
That's generally me and the boss will work that one out.
Yeah. I was going to say, one thing I was curious about, because there is so much positivity about, Australian radio, which is great. You know, I mean, you guys really do put out great product, and I think My analysis is that in America, it's gotten so focused on just, you know, hitting numbers with PPM, and, you know, they're just taking a lot of focus away from the talent and sort of the celebrity of radio, it were. And that's been happening here for quite a while, for good or bad, you know, why ever they do it because they do it. But in Australia, it seems like they still strongly focus on the talent, you know, that you are celebrities, you know, the radio people are big there. It's a massive, you know, entertainment medium.
Well, Australia doesn't have quite as many celebrities running around the place as America. So they kind of tend to grab onto any D-list celeb they can get and try and make them as famous as possible. I don't know. I mean, I think that's part of being a radio station is making things as glitzy and glam as possible. And it's also about, if you don't have Brad Pitt as a jock on your station, then you need to make somebody as famous as that. Do you know what I mean? So that you've got a famous person, whether he started that way or not. Let's make him famous so that we can have a celebrity.
Yeah, and I feel like in America, it you know, it used to be that way, and they've been dialing it back. You know, they basically either because they don't want to pay for it or they don't want to put the effort in.
Yeah, because they make him famous and then they have to pay him.
Well, right, and it seems like here they've decided, you know, all right, we're selling the music at the end of the day. People are coming to us for the music. Who cares if the jocks or anything and whatever.
But
do you think Australia could go that way? I mean, do you see any signs of them sort of dialing back?
Not if the current hierarchy in this company stays the way it is.
Yeah.
That won't happen. They're very focused on having celebrities to lead the charge, pretty much. They need to have the business model for the stations is led by breakfast. They've got to have a strong breakfast show, followed by a very strong afternoon show. And whoever the people are who are leading those shows, they've got to be famous in their market. So if they're not, then we make them famous.
And, you know, kind of on that, so now that I've said so many great things about Australian radio, I'm curious if you have something where, you know, let's go the other way. Is there something that you could improve on? Is there something that the industry as a whole there could actually improve on? Have you seen something like that?
It's pretty cool over here at the moment. I think the main thing is if there is anything that could change, it's probably actually outside of our network, in that there is a lot of cost cutting going on in other networks, where people who are great at what they do are not sticking around because the cost cutting is leading to could be an inferior product or whatever, and some people are not into that. So the cash side of things is definitely hitting this industry in Australia. It's just not, you don't feel it quite so much at Austereo because we kind of tend to value the people a bit more than most, I think.
Yeah, that's what has been happening here for a long time. So you guys are getting that a little over there, but you know that's economy. You know, what are you going to do? I want to say thanks for joining me. I'm going to ask you my final question, but it's been just a great interview. You're candid and you're super talented, but let me hear from you the one main thing that if you want to be successful in this industry, you need to do.
You need to produce a million things and learn from them. Don't copy. You can copy when you're first starting out, but beyond that, once you've actually got your chops together, then just be yourself. And the only way to do it really is to make a million things, and you will eventually start feeling it.
Yeah. So keep trying, basically.
Yeah.
That is true. People need to not get flustered and keep working.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I get a lot of things sent to me from people who are starting out in production, and they're not quite right, and they don't. Some people don't like to be told. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
you need to accept criticism, and you need to basically just realize that it's going to take time to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't send your stuff to Matt Nikolic if you don't want to hear the negative feedback, because otherwise you're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah.
Great, man. Well, Matt, I very much appreciate it. Thank you. I know you're in the middle of your work day right now, and it's nighttime for me. So we'll post this up. And any way that you want people to contact you,
Is there a way to contact me?
You got a Twitter? You got a?
Oh yeah, there's Twitter. There's Twitter for sure. It's the Twitter is Uncle Blacko.
Uncle what?
It's called Uncle Blacko is my Twitter feed.
All right.
That's a whole nother story.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll save that one for the future then as well.
Yeah. The
producers. Yeah. One more time. Thanks to Matt. Again, his Twitter is Uncle Blacko. One word, obviously. I don't think you can have two words on Twitter. I'm not the biggest tweeter. Usually it's just manually, or I mean, it's automatically. If I post something in my blog, it goes there. I don't do it. My Facebook stuff repeats over there. Yeah. So I'm not the biggest Twitterer, but I can be reached there too, at Ardreen. But Matt is at Uncle Blacko. Otherwise, I don't really have any other ways for you to reach out to him. So you know him, then you can call him. If not, then tweet him. I'll pretty much round this out here. Thanks for checking it out, and just be prepared for upcoming episodes. Mitch Todd, one of the head creative directors at SiriusXM, he's in charge of music content. Been around a little while, super smart guy, really cool guy. I've talked to him now a couple times in the past, and I'm looking forward to interviewing him down the road. Up next, though, should be, barring some crazy incident, Michael Horn, B96 in Chicago. I've had lots of feedback, people who are fans of his work, know what he does well, and rightfully so, he's been requested for this podcast, and I'm going to get him on an interview here very soon. Again, he was featured in the studio. I'll mention that one more time on my website, that not only was he featured, and it was awesome, but I would love to feature you. If you would like to basically fire me off a little bit about yourself, maybe some audio, and then obviously since it's in the studio, a couple pics of where you work. And I can't make it clear enough that in this day and age, with so many people being mobile, working at home, literally in closets sometimes, that don't think because your studio isn't fancy, all chromed out and with, you know, $80,000 worth of computer equipment, you know, 57 different $100,000 pieces of outboard gear, that it won't still be cool. People want to see all the different types of studios that people are working in. So don't be afraid to send me your stuff. I'd love to feature you on my blog there in the studio. You can email me. It's ryandreen@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. Producers Podcast is on Facebook. It's facebook.com/prodpod. There's also a contact form on my website, ryanontheradio.com. There's a billion different ways you can reach out to me. And I hope you do, because I would love to feature you there. And you never know what that kind of networking crap can lead to. Big time jobs in Beirut. Speaking of, I'll do a feature on someone from Beirut really soon on the blog. Anyway, thanks so much for checking out the podcast. That'll do it for me. Until next time, bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.